the Passion was coming, and it would be about the time, and Jesus would be put to death.
But Mary,
we have the three here. We have Martha, and we have Lazarus, we have Mary. Mary had anticipated this, and she was the only one that we know of that made any preparation in regard to her own soul as to the death of Christ. She did not go to the cross or the grave. Mary Magdalene did, but this is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. She knew what was going on because the Lord had said that in 3 days and three nights he would be in the grave. She knew the time had come, and that's spiritual discernment. Everybody does not have spiritual discernment. Only those who are walking close to the Lord, as Mary was, had spiritual discernment. We learn in the 10th chapter of Luke that she sat at his feet and heard his word. That's communion. And that's growth. When there's communion, there's growth. And so we have now Bethany. That's the place where Jesus often rested when he was here on earth, in the house of Lazarus, Mary and her sister Martha. Now he was kept there at times, preserved of the elements. We look to the, we think of the affection on the part of all of them for the Lord. But there was a special affection with Mary that perhaps the others did not manifest, at least not here. Although they all did show affection. There they made him a supper. Think of it. These three made Jesus a supper just before the cross. And Martha served. That was the work that the Lord had given her to do. Before, at the 10th of Luke, she complained. She didn't do her work without complaint. But here, no complaint. We see the little heavenly company here, in the midst, with Jesus in the midst, each one has his own place. And I believe that's a picture of heaven, because each one will have their own place there too. In the creation that God has made down here, you'd hardly find two things alike. How much more so in heaven? Similar, but not alike. Martha served. Wonderful privilege to serve the Lord in any way. Be it ever so little. It's the heart that's in it. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. Now that's communion. Fellowship, too. Fellowship and communion. You can hardly separate the two. We don't know what was said, but there must have been something said about the Lord's decease. That was a few days away. Then took Mary a pound of ointment. Now, we learn a little later in the chapter the cost of this pound. It cost 300 pence. We call it 300 pennies. But the value of the coin, a penny there, was worth much more. Now, this was a year's wages, if you leave out the days that you didn't work. 1 or 2 days a week. It's a year's wages. And that's what this pound of ointment cost. Someone has said that it was usual for women to prepare ahead for their own wedding. And this is one of the things that they would be preparing for their own wedding. Now, this ointment, you can understand a pound of it, taking a year to pay for it out of her wages. Probably it took a lot longer because she couldn't use all her wages for it. Then Lebanon, in the mountains, down the side, steep cliffs. This material grows, is made into ointment. It's spiking up. It just like its name shows, it's sharp spikes and has a nard, or I guess we'd call it ointment. At the bottom of these spikes, sharp spikes. Now, there's no way that anybody can get that except to go down on the rope or some kind of an apparatus to get it. That's why it's so expensive. A man may work all day for just a little bit of it because it's choice. You don't get much from one plant. Spike. Very costly. What does she do with it? Well, she anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. She couldn't very well if she didn't have a hair. She wiped his feet with her hair. Now, it doesn't say that the house was filled with ointment, but it was the odor of the ointment that filled the house. This little bit, one pound, a year's wage, filled the house with the odor of the ointment. A breath of heaven, atmosphere that was brought for Jesus just before his death. Well, that was Mary's part. Now, it is usual to use these things in burying a person, especially a king. They use costly things at the grave. But this was before that. Jesus had not died. It wasn't time yet. But she anticipates it. She couldn't go, perhaps at the time, might be very difficult for her to do when they're burying. So she does it ahead of time. The other women did not do it. They wanted to, but they got there too late. He was already risen. We read of the women having bought sweet spices, and they go to the grave early in the morning of the resurrection, but he was not there. He was nearby, and Mary Magdalene finds him finally. But Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus use these expensive odors, ointment, various things that are used at a grave to sweeten it because of the awful meaning of death. Now, I trust the disciples appreciated this. They must have been there. What Judas says. But Judas did not appreciate it. All he thought about was money. Money. Filthy lucre. That's all he was thinking about. He was a thief, and he had the bag. And he wanted that money. He wouldn't have given it to the poor. He would have taken it himself. He thought it was a terrible waste because he didn't know Jesus. He didn't believe Jesus was the Son of God. Yet he had been with him all this time, 3.5 years probably. He heard his ministry. He was thinking of other things. That's sad when a person is thinking of other things when they should be thinking about the Word of God. That's Judas. And he was down at the level of the filthy lucre. That was all he was occupied with. Not Jesus. Why was not this ointment sold? 300 pence. He knew what it was worth. And given to the poor. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, he had the bag and buried what was put in it. Then said Jesus, let her alone. This expression was used in the Old Testament in the days of Elisha, when the woman whose child had died had traveled to the mount where Elisha was, and she was going to tell him about the death of her child. And the servant of Elisha tried to drive her away. But Jesus listened to her, and then he went with her back and raised the child. And at that time, Elisha said, it was a type of Jesus, to this servant who would drive the woman away, he said, let her alone. He was also an ungodly man. Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. She anticipated his death. Spiritual mind, she couldn't have done it. For the poor you have with you, for the poor always you have with you, but me, you have not always. He was going to go away. Return, yes. He was going to go away. These people came to see Lazarus. That is, they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Inquisitive. Nothing is said of any faith here. They wanted to see what happened. But then we have something beyond inquisitiveness. We have the wicked priests and consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. They had no use for Jesus. They wanted to hinder it in every way. They were religious people who had gifts. They knew the Old Testament well, no doubt. But when the time came, they couldn't discern who Jesus was. They were the leaders. They should have. It's been said, and how true it is, that when a person who knows the truth very well has gone from it, he becomes a servant of Satan to hinder the truth. That's what we have here. And now we have a new scene. And this is something that God has ordered. Something that the people did, but not willingly, exactly. There's an excitement. Not anything from the heart. It might have been some of them. But it was a time of excitement, because he had said that he was king of the Jews. He'd be put to death as the king of the Jews. And God made them do this, carry out that scripture of the Old Testament, that he would ride into Jerusalem on an ass's colt, and that he would be announced as king by the people. But it was the same people that cried out, away with him later. And so it's something that God insisted upon. He'd come here as the king, they wouldn't receive him, and so God insists that they do receive him, at least outwardly, although they don't inwardly. There may be some. We know there were some. All is a remnant. And so they go through this. They took branches and trees and went forth to meet him. Cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. Come in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereupon, as is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass. These things understood not his disciples. At the first. You see, if the disciples didn't understand it, how could the people? No, this was something God insisted upon. It was a little picture of what was coming when he did, when he will in the millennial day, make his place as king. And they remembered these things, and he was glorified. Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. Now the people that were with him, and he called Lazarus out of the grave, raised from the dead, bear record. There were some that kept these things in their minds and possibly in their hearts. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. That is, raised Lazarus. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how he prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him. That's just what was happening. It would be so in the millennial day. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to the worship of the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at the Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, sir, we would see Jesus. Does this not remind us of the time when Jesus was 2 years old, as a babe, and how the wise men from the east came and brought gifts and worshipped him, when the Jews paid no attention to him, rejected Jesus, but had to be honored by the Gentiles? Sir, we would see Jesus. Now Philip cometh and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. But now Jesus is going to say something that looks like he doesn't pay any attention to these Gentiles. But that's just what he does pay attention to. He's anticipating the church, which is composed of Gentiles. And these Gentiles having come, he carries on the story as to what will take place after his death. Jesus answered them in saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's speaking of the cross. The Father in this chapter glorifies him. But he glorifies him again at the raising of Lazarus. The Father glorified him. Now, at his death, the Father will glorify him again. And it will also be Jesus glorified, Son of Man glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, it's a very important expression. I say unto you. Not everyone has the privilege of taking that to themselves. Jesus answered them saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. That's the church. That's the church. That's the Gentile church. That was his answer to these Gentiles who came and said, sir, we would see Jesus. To a man that had faith, and who had knowledge. The Gentiles, they hadn't lived among the Jews to learn these things. They probably had read the Old Testament, Gentiles. And they heard and knew about the stars, the case when Jesus was born, Gentiles. And now these Gentiles have come. Now we have something we have to take to our own hearts very definitely. He that loveth his life shall lose it. What does that mean? It means that if I love my life here in this world more than the things of Christ, I'm going to lose it. Doesn't mean he's lost. It means he's going to lose his life because he's not using it for Christ. Only that which he does for Christ is going to stand up there.